This is episode 9 of our series on restfully preparing for primary school. Throughout this series, we endeavoured to paint a picture of the cross because we cannot win at parenting without Christ. We started in the upward segment of the cross, realigning us to God's definition of success for ourselves and our children, and asking God for a vision for the season. This was followed by the middle segment of the cross, where we shared about the roles we get to play as under-shepherds, leaders, and builders of God's house, and the importance of being anchored in our identity in Christ. In the lateral arms of the cross, we spoke about the wondrous village that God has surrounded us with to journey with through the various transitions in life. And finally, as we moved downwards on the cross, we spoke candidly and shared many handles and tips on managing the actual transition into school life. In the previous episode, we shared handles and tips on operational, financial, classroom dynamics, and success factors that would prepare your child for the start of primary school life. I'm sure it's the episode most of us signed up for when we started listening in. So now that we are equipped for the new environment, operations, schedules, and more, what's next? What are some things we need to know about the days to follow? In this episode, we'll shed some light and insights into primary school life and how we can traverse the waters ahead. Let's get started. Hello, Pastor Matthews, Gary, and Chinfen.
Hi, Christy.
Hey, we are on to the last episode of our podcast.
Oh, yes.
So after the first few days of orientation and transition were done and dusted, Chinfen and Gary, what were the other areas that came under the spotlight for you and your family?
Christy, isn't it so interesting? The first day of primary school, isn't it like a wedding day? Right? Everybody is like so excited, you know.
The excitement, right?
Of wedding. Then after that, I won't call it the grind of the marriage, right? But it's a lifelong...
You get settled.
Yeah, you get settled and then the journey begins. It's just like for primary school.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? It's something that we look forward to in our marriage. Yeah. Likewise for our children. It's a lifelong learning and of our independence, coupled with many other values and life beliefs that we hope to inculcate and impact to our children. So Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, right, train up the child in the way he should go. When he is older, he will not depart from it. I believe that this is a verse that we have been talking about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Over and over.
Yes, yeah. Right?
It's a good verse.
It's so good. It's a good verse, yeah. So right now, it's time to take a step back, away from the initial bars and even more deliberately away from primary school leaving examinations. To ask ourselves, really, what is primary school about and how are we leveraging and treasuring these 6 years of their young years to build that foundation for their many years to come? Right? Remember, go back to episode 1 about the definition of success in the eyes of God.
Yeah. That's right.
Right. We are talking about the success.
Yeah.
So if you think that it's just about PSLE, primary school leaving examinations, so that they can get into a good secondary schools, I think that is being too short-sighted.
Yeah, agreed.
Agreed, right? Yeah. I believe that, Pastor, you mentioned this, God is into our many, many more good years.
Yes.
It's not just the 6 years.
Amen. Right? So when we want to talk about starting with the end in mind, the end is not the 6 years and it's not the school leaving examination.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah. This years will come and go. We can ask God, what does He want to accomplish through us this year in them so that they can contribute to their latter years of fulfillment and calling? How can we discover them and how can we help them to discover themselves, to know the boundaries of life, to know God's ways versus the world, and make mistake now that they will know of God's grace and not make larger, more dangerous mistakes in the times to come.
Yes.
So, we can take a very tactical view of things to teach ourselves and them ahead of the topics that they will come in touch with in primary school. Or we can take a godly view of things and ask ourselves, what do we really want to impart to them through these life temptations, challenges, topics, and what do we as parents first need to know in order to help navigate through them?
That's right.
I believe Fern has something to share in this area.
So Christy, you asked about what areas came under the spotlight.
Yes.
I think for context, our child is still going through P6 currently right now and the other one P4. I think there are a couple of topics that we feel like we've talked a lot about, prayed together a lot about, and desiring to stand in alignment together as a couple first and then as a family. These topics we feel are very inevitable, and that we also strongly encourage you, if you're not yet facing it, it would be good for you to discover alongside with your couple what both of you stand for.
Mm.
So that you can then help the kids navigate that with ease and with grace together.
Mm, yeah.
At the end of the day, it's all about us ensuring that God's glory shines through us and that even there will be challenges, practical life challenges, we abide by His ways and we'll get to see the godly results that He had promised us, right? Amen. Days of heaven on earth with very good successes. That was blood bought by His death on the cross.
Yeah.
And so one of the verses that have been quite centered to us in terms of prayer and reminder to ourselves is Ephesians 1:18, where we remind them and also ourselves that as we bring God's word in, as we introduce to them God's ways and ground them in the word of God, their little hearts will be flooded with light so that they know confidently that He has prepared for them His rich and glorious inheritance.
Mm.
So what are these topics, you may ask, right? The few topics that we have started to discuss, are still discussing and praying right through from preschool all the way to even now. And I believe that they will still stay with us into secondary school.
Mm.
Maybe just to give you an overview, here are a few things that we will be talking about. Number one, friendship matters, which we have briefly discussed in our last episode where we talk about classroom dynamics.
Mm.
But it is very important as they grow up that friends are becoming much more critical and important to them. They used to be really, really close to us. They still are, but they take in a lot of what their friends say. So, in friendship matters, I think there is that constant exposure to godly friends and also maybe some undesirable friends. For example, how do they differentiate in terms of the influences that they will receive from these friends?
Mm.
Practically, the peer pressure that come, whether or not we want them to, they like it or not. Peer pressure that applies to many different areas. Anything that they face, to everything that they go through
the
in school,
that
will,
that
stationery sets to
the food,
you know, grades
buy,
and to clothes and to holidays and and all of that, right?
So
exactly that comparison.
Well. Oh,
yeah, and even though we can tell them that please don't compare, but honestly, as adults, sometimes we compare, and that we always have to remind ourselves that we are first holy and accepted in Christ, right? So all the more it is important to really talk with them about these topics.
Yeah.
Friendship matters. That will sometimes include as well stereotypes or some elements of bullying that may be undesirable that they're not prepared for. So teaching them how to navigate all this. The other area that actually our kids wanted us to raise up in a light-hearted manner is also handling stress and coping with studies in school. It's just an area that they said, you know, not to be taken lightly, because sometimes the parents in our anxiety, we may expect a lot more from them than what they're prepared for. And they may not feel like as if they have that opportunity to share with us what they're going through and how they may appear to not be worrying too much about studies, but their little hearts are actually quite anxious. This is an area that we also bring it up for discussions with them. Talk about it. We pray about it a lot together with them as well, so that they know that they need to place their eyes on God and even not on themselves.
So good.
Yeah. That's starting a little bit more from within school, right? Closer to school. But we want to highlight that there are a couple of other influences, a variety of influences that could be within or outside from school that may challenge the boundaries that we have attempted to put in right from the early years. And that is for them to discover along the way, that they will re-examine the boundaries, ask themselves, does this need to be this way? Why are my friends being able to do that and why can't I? And what are these areas? Number one is the use of technology, screen time, social media, basically gaming time as well. And it doesn't necessarily help as well that I think a lot of work is done through computer these days. So, you know, the exposure as well as the accessibility is very, very much within reach. You know, the other one area around the influences outside of school that usually comes through social media, unfortunately or fortunately, which is the reason why all the more we need to safeguard that. Things that have been coming up that we read about in the papers, right? Contraband items, sexual grooming references, maybe even accessibility to pornography. Of course, you know, on a much more minor, lighthearted note, but still very important, the languages that they use, the languages that they've been exposed to, which sometimes also bring in some elements of, are they using that outside of home? But we don't know. So, you know, their ability to keep secrets, cheating, lying, some aspects of this may show up over time in the course of primary school that we should not be surprised. And I think for us, we accept the fact that we are here to walk a journey of grace and know that we can all fail, adults included as well. So for children, I think one stand is not to be overly hard on them. When certain things like this show up, all the more we need to remind ourselves that there can be forgiveness, there can be grace, and there is mercy found in Christ. So that they know that they have a safe space to come back and talk to us about and not feel that they are being judged at home. We've come across many parents whom are very challenged in terms of the boundaries that they have set or they have not set. And as a result of that, it has really challenged their relationship with their children. And if they have not set that early, they lose control of the influence of their kids to social media. Very weighty topics.
You've nailed it, Chinfen, when you said that there are issues out there. How do we allow those issues not to come back home? How do we manage those issues in the hearts and minds? These are things that they see, hear, pick up, may not be able to discern. They tend to be parrots, or they parrot things that they hear from other people. So they mimic, they parrot. And what comes out, and there needs to be certain boundaries, guards that we need to put up.
Yes.
In this episode, we want to talk about the external influences that affect our children's heart, their mind, and their soul. Putting them into primary one as they start this journey is one thing. Preparing them for classes, academics, and success is the other thing. But, you know, we also want to guard their success in the area of their heart, their mind, and their soul. Success is a big area, isn't it?
Yes.
And their soul. Bible keeps on coming back to this aspect of guarding your hearts. Guard your heart above all things, for out of it is the issues of life.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about having soul prosperity. And I think it's not only to the adults, but it also covers the children more so. How do parents guard the hearts of our children? How do we guard their souls and cause their souls to prosper? Because we know once their souls prosper, the outward will automatically prosper.
Amen.
If they're wilting and dying on the inside, I'm not talking physically here, but they are being crushed on the inside, their souls are burdened. And their hearts and minds are not altogether are being troubled by things that are going on in school and things that they hear. How do they get success? Again, our hearts for the parents out there is we want you to have successful kids, successful families. How do we do this? God made us spirit beings with a soul. And you know what? Just because our children are small doesn't mean they are less of a spirit being. They're also spirit beings. They don't have a small spirit. They have the same Holy Spirit that all of us adults have. They have a soul. And the soul is that part of them which is defined as their mind, their will, and their emotions. And the way the soul operates, it's shaped by connections. It's shaped by relationship with others. That's how the soul operates. Hence, your mind, your will, your emotions are definitely shaped by other people, right?
Yeah.
Our younger children may forget a scolding by their parent. I've been there before, scolded a child for something. Next minute, the child does the same thing over and over again. We've been there with your parents, right? Or, you know, which they may have received for a wrong behavior. When they are deeply affected by a relationship breakdown, they cannot handle it. They can handle a scolding, but there's some things about relationships that touches the very aspect of their soul and either prospers them or does not give them good success. So again, we are knitted together by love and warm friendships. Welcome to the human race. You know, this whole podcast is about people who are close to one another and know each other and love one another. And we love the parents out there as well.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing, right? We're doing this for the sake of relationships. Because we believe in relationships. Parenting is a relationship. I see it in the scriptures again, the power of friendship, the power of having this relationship. Was when Job was in trouble, who was the ones that came along and ministered to Job? His friends. So the power of relationships is important. Is that right?
Yeah.
When he was going through a calamity, Jesus had a close friend in Lazarus. Even Jesus, mind you, he was always spending time in Bethany in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he was most troubled when Lazarus passed away. He was a friend. In fact, the Bible calls him a friend. Let's, our friend Lazarus sleeps. That's exactly what he said. Our friend. Amazing. So you can see that even this is important. And again, Jesus was betrayed by a friend and a disciple. Judas Iscariot, right? Oh, Lord, you give me away by a kiss? Wow. Only a friend can go that close to you and plant a kiss on you. And that hurt the Lord, right? So Jesus said in John 15, 14, he said, greater love has no one than this, than one who lays down his life for his friends. So friends really impact our children from the time they begin at nursery or kindergarten. And these are the same people that influence them either positively or negatively. Yeah. You spoke about social media. You don't connect with a robot. You connect with a friend. You know, social media or your media devices, your text, whatever it is that you use. These are communication tools, mm-hmm. isn't that right? With whom? Your friends.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
And the same people that can impact you negatively. Yeah. Moral influences, negative influences, come from your friends.
Yeah.
It's always the friends, right? So we need to tackle the subject of friendship. Mm. It has the greatest impact on our children's life from nursery or kindergarten all the way up. Mm. It'll continue to impact them as they get older, especially when they get into their teenage years. So friendship today has evolved with the use of technology and social media. Connections are now made and conducted through gaming and connecting through online chat platforms. Along with this, these influences come positive and negative aspects that govern our children's lives. Somebody said this and I thought it was worth repeating. It is said that we diligently close the front doors of our homes for fear of intruders. Mm. Yeah. But we willingly open all the doors in our technological devices to the world, thinking it is safe. We think our children know how to navigate this maze of information that floods in. Mm. We think they know how to discern right from wrong. They do not. So this is something you want to pay attention to you in this episode. But notice that all these issues erupt and come together because of our children's need to connect. Be known, be seen, and be loved. Let me repeat that again. Our children need to be known, to be seen, and to be loved in this technologically interconnected world. Mm-hmm. But however, technological interconnectedness does not mean that they have deep and significant relationships with their peers and friends. Our children still crave for those deep and significant relationships with their parents first, which comes through intentional conversations and a heart-to-heart relationships with their nearest and dearest, their parents. Relationships are framed by conversations and communication, especially when it comes to difficult conversations on friendships, media devices, moral choices. We talked about this in an earlier episode when we spoke about building the child's identity. Yeah. In that episode, we talked about the three things that need to be used to build up children. Our children want significance, strength, and security. And it comes from solid relationships with the Lord Jesus and their parents. It's like this proverbial saying, if we are full eating a good meal at home, our need for supplementary food outside will be much reduced. If I have a good meal at home, if I'm well adequately imparted to and loved at home, I would not look for things outside. Yes.
Can I just interject here, Pastor? Because it sounds a lot like how if our children are planted in a safe community, they wouldn't be looking for...
To belong to some other community.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to. Yeah. They wouldn't be looking for friends outside. They wouldn't be looking for friends on social media. They wouldn't be looking for friends through gaming networks. Yeah. If we plant them in community, like what we have spoken about earlier, and we build a community around them, we bring a safe community around them, they wouldn't be looking elsewhere, just like what your analogy on food. Mm. Yeah. So
what you just said just sort of brings it home because we talked about community as well.
Yes. Yeah.
When they have friends within church community, life group, whatever it is, that this part is safe, is kosher, it is secure, they will not look for something outside.
Of course, not saying the people are perfect, right?
Correct. Yes. And for the lack of this, the children looking for a place to be a part of will automatically veer in that direction.
Yes.
Right?
Or that, I was just going to say that maybe they are not looking, but that if they come across some community outside just because of the fact that they are in school, and then they will know this doesn't feel right.
Yes.
This is not like the community that I have.
Correct.
And so this is not the kind of group that I want to keep with. So they know how to then choose.
So good. Yes. Yeah.
So if you give them something good, they'll be able to test what is bad. It's like you'll never know a counterfeit note.
That's right.
Unless you've felt and understood a real note. Yes. Is that right?
Yes. Unless they have felt and understood like what real relationships don't betray and that are safe look like.
Correct.
Right. Yeah,
that's so when they can decide, they can discern, they can take ownership. Mm. I just want to throw this out to parents going forward. Your conversations with your children are vital. I think we underestimate it. I think sometimes we think as parents that they're too small, they don't understand. You'd be surprised what they catch from you. Mm. If they didn't catch your words, they'll catch your weight.
Yeah.
They'll catch the spirit by which you say it.
Yeah.
That's true.
And
that's
you
true.
Need to have conversations. Can I just say this to parents? The older your children gets, the more conversations. So sometimes I get concerned when I see parents not talking to their children and they leave their children because, they're old enough, they can handle their own things. I'm sorry, I disagree with that.
Yeah.
They have no idea. Again, we're coming back to this. Unless you give them something good, a safe place to come on and to port, to come in, that ship is going to be tossed about in the seas of life.
I wanted to add to that, Pastor, that I think sometimes it's not just that they cannot have that conversation with us. It's also that we don't have time. Mm. You know, we're so busy with work. We come home, we're so tired, and it's time for them to sleep because they need to sleep by 8 p.m. Right? And we don't have the time for them. And it comes out in our conversations with them. Right? And then what they get is that my parent has no time for me. And when they get that, that's when they will go looking for people who have time for them through social media. Right? Like, it's really about having time.
It's
about taking time. It's about making time to have these conversations with them, right?
So, which brings us to a point which you talked about. If you they don't have wins at home, they'll find wins outside. You know, we are programmed to win. Anyone around this table and having this conversation, we all want to win. We all want to be on top. We want to be, hey, number one dude, man. Children are not anywhere different.
Nobody wants to fail.
Nobody wants to fail. In fact, we have a God who loves victory, who's always, he's the head and not the tail. So having said that, that's where he puts us as well. So kids are no different. So when you don't have wins at home, wins with parents, wins in conversations with your parents, they'll look outside for other conversations. Whether they like it or not, they'll make themselves a part of that other conversation because, hey, those guys are cool. Parents not so cool. At home, these guys are sticklers or whatever, I don't know. But outside, they accept it. Willing to listen to anything. I want to be a part of this group. So the cool group comes up. And when they're supposed to distinguish a counterfeit from a real, they'll choose the counterfeit. You know what I mean? And forget the real, the genuine. So I feel that this is something, again, we really need to come back to. And we cannot downplay or put aside this issue of conversations with our children. Start from a young age so that parents, you and I, can get practiced as they get older.
It just brought to remembrance that particular episode we did on community as well. And I just wanted to call that out that, yes, it starts at home, us having conversations. But, you know, at some point in time, they also need to not just hear what you say, but they need to see you doing it. And so it comes back again to how there will be times where you are trying to have conversations and maybe that season itself you don't feel like you're getting through. And that's the time when you bring in that community, that authentic, safe, not counterfeit community that that's you have for us. Then we talked about that church community that we have built so that we can then put them and trust them into that safe space of people who are aligned with us in values that have been grounded in the Word of God. And that it truly takes a village to come together. I just wanted to call out that, yes, it's very important for us to have those conversations, but also don't feel that you're alone. And this is the time where, let's just, parents, if you have not heard that episode that we have on community, I would just strongly suggest that you do spend some time on it, because we talk about many examples of how we have been helped through this season of primary school as well. Not knowing how to have the conversations, trying to have the conversations and leveraging other safe friends to have those conversations.
Beautiful.
And then, you know, coming back one full circle.
So just to add to that, Chintan, I totally agree. You know, if you go back to that episode we did in community, but don't stop there. Go back some more.
Before community,
start from episode one and start and just go there. Vision. Parents, you need to know the things of God as you grow in those things. Your children get ministered to.
Yeah.
And then we talk about the child's identity, build the identity of the child. And then, you know what? We've got helps coming out from the outside. That's when you spoke about community. So just coming back to this, parents out there, just a couple of handles. And how do you want to do these conversations with the children? So I just listed out three things here and I thought it was pretty good. I've been seeing this over and over in my readings on this subject. And number one, it's engage. Number two, it's empathize. Number three, it's educate. So it's the three E's. If you find it really difficult to remember, engage, empathize, and educate. This is the basis on which how you have your conversations going with your children. So number one, let's talk about engage. Engage your children intentionally in conversation as often as you can. The more they talk to you, the more their soul is relieved of their thoughts, stresses, fears, and frustrations. And the only reason they'll talk to you is because you are engaging. Let us not be the parents as the children are speaking. We're on the phone or watching television. I'm speaking to myself out there, parents. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone. I've done this before. I need to put aside my whatever it is there because I prioritize my kids. Mm. They need to hear my voice. The kids come to you and they want to have a conversation because they want to offload. Mm. It's the time when the parents really need to pay attention.
Mm. Yeah.
And I've heard this over and over again. I've got teenage children in my home and they are saying, you know, and they're the first ones that will point out to you the minute they start a conversation, not because it's the best time to have a conversation. It's usually the worst time for you that they want to have a conversation. But when they want to have a conversation and they are out there talking to you, and if you give the cold shoulder or you sort of no time or you're bothered with other things, they're the first ones to shut off and they'll never come back to you again.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And they want to pour out the times when they want to pour out, not because it's convenient to you that they want to pour out. Yeah. They want to pour out when it's convenient to them.
Yes.
Welcome to the world of parenting. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, it's God giving them to us so that we can spend time with our 2 years listening to what they have to say. So we need to be engaging when they are engaging us.
Yeah. Yes.
So find opportunities to talk to them as you send them to school. One-on-one car journeys, park and playground activities, and especially when they come back from school. They've got a lot of things to say sometimes.
So much to download.
Sometimes they got nothing to say and they are plonked on the floor, all zeroed out because they are so tired and they feel, I'm finally home. And then they end up falling asleep on the floor because they're just like, I can just be myself. I can just do the things I do. In school, I got to be a little more behaved and a little more prepared. But at home, I can just be myself. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know what? It's so every day for them brings new adventures and challenges. And they really need to unwind it. So that's number one. Number two is empathize. Empathize with what they are going through. They are not adults and they can only process things as they see it or hear it. So, for example, should they speak a bad word or say something that they picked up in school or mimicked from their friends? Let's try not to jump to conclusions and to shut the conversation down by putting rules before them or, you know what, those things are never spoken in our house. How dare you? No, no, none of you sound like I do. So perhaps I'm guilty of this. Or to scold them for it because many times they don't know what they're saying. They are repeating. I just want to bring this out here. Be cool. Be chill and don't overreact. If you can, I think we need an episode on that, Christy. Sometime in the future, how to be a chill parent. Be cool.
Pastor, this sounds like you're talking to your old self.
Yeah, I'm talking to my own self. Don't overreact because I've done that before, much to my detriment.
Oh, we all need to hear that.
Yes.
Yeah, don't
much to my detriment. I've done that so many times because I tend to jump to conclusions. I'm a solution provider. We talked about marriage earlier. I totally understand that. Same issue goes on in marriage, Gary.
Yes.
Before a wife completes talking, we're already going to giving the solution. Can we just stop and listen for 2 seconds before, sorry, moving
maybe
2 around.
2 hours.
Yeah, maybe 2 hours.
Coming from the women, it's 2 hours, Pastor. It's not 2 seconds.
This is not a marriage seminar or a marriage podcast. It's about parenting. But hey, it's about the same things. Can we just listen? Ask your children where they learned that word from, for example. Where did they get their idea from? Different kinds of ideas that come out from school. You know, I'm hearing horror stories sometimes from parents who tell me that at primary one, the children are looking at pictures that they're not supposed to look at, hearing words that they've never heard of in their lives.
Mm.
One parent just told me just yesterday that in the midst of school, this child is in primary six. This child came back home from school and there was some extra time for English class. And this particular teacher played a video of one of our local comedians who is quite rash and brash and not very appropriate for a 12-year-old.
Mm.
Right in the middle of class, a whole 20-minute video YouTube on it.
Oh.
And when the child came back and told mom, again, conversations.
Yeah.
Child came back and said, Mom, I got to tell you something. And the teacher said this and I'm not very happy with him. I felt very uncomfortable when I watched it.
Mm.
How would a child share that if a child didn't feel
safe enough
to share it at home.
Yeah.
And mom was livid when she heard it. It's a very scary world we're negotiating outside there. It's a P6 child.
Yeah.
this is not something that should be covered in an English language class.
Yeah.
But again, these are things that are happening because some people perhaps don't know how to discern right from wrong.
Sure.
So ask your child where they learned that word or idea from. Ask them if they know what the meaning of that word or idea was.
Mm.
And what is the thought that that idea conveys?
Mm.
Tell them that that word that they used, without going too many details, what it really means. Tell them that you sort of reinforce their identity, that they are Jesus kids.
Yes. Yeah.
Jesus kids don't use those words.
Yeah. It's so good.
And in this family, because we believe in what we believe, and the Lord is our Savior, and this is not something we were picked up anywhere, we don't use such things in our home. So that's the second one, which is empathize, right? Third point before I bring this to a close is educate your children using encouragement and non-judgment. Educating is coaching your child. And for that to happen well, parents need to walk a daily journey with their child by explaining and repeating the learning points.
It's not about top-down talking, right? It's not about talking down to your children, but it's about coaching. I love that you use the word coaching, Pastor.
Yeah.
Because coaching is so different from like telling them off.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Coaching also uses or needs to employ the concept of walking with.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
That I can feel you, I understand you, I see your point of view.
Yes.
Let me just walk this journey with you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm just looking at this, and for example, avoiding the use of technology or technological devices or putting a blanket ban on the use of the technological device is not the answer. We do want to delay the introduction of smartphones and devices for as long as we can. There's enough evidence and research out there about the negative effects of early introduction of media devices. So let's say, parents, you've already introduced these things. The way forward is to educate the child on the proper use of the device.
Mm.
To introduce boundaries on access, right?
Yeah.
And the amount of time that they spend on it, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more beneficial for the child if there was an adult supervision when these devices are being used. And there's access limitations to the internet, for example, set into the devices. So let me just end off by saying that when it comes to setting boundaries for your child, it is important that parents try to be in agreement between themselves on some of the baseline issues. Firstly, it would be helpful if there were common and united positions on the issues relating to friendship and media device use and the moral issues. Parents, if you can agree on a stand on this issue and be united when you present that stand, it'll be powerful.
Yeah.
I know parents don't agree on everything 100%. I know my wife and I have different viewpoints on different things, but that's what it's all about. And that's what marriage is, right?
Yeah.
But and this is completely understandable. But if you can agree on the fundamentals and share these fundamentals as a team, because remember, you're a coach with a child.
Yeah.
So you let the child be conscious of what his parents agree upon, rather than the child always being conscious of what the parents disagree upon, which I find in many homes sometimes.
Mm.
Secondly, it'd be most helpful if you could model these positions in your own lives.
It's true.
So parents, you would have the authority to implement these guidelines to your children.
Mm.
By modeling and showcasing it by example. For example, no child is going to take his parents seriously when he is told to put away his media device or to stop using a bad word. If he continues to see his parents engaged on the media device constantly using those words themselves.
That's so true. Yeah.
It's so
when
true.
We model, is that right? When we model right, we would have the conviction and moral authority to speak into our child's life and situation. So I just want to end off here by saying that, hey, we've done podcasts on this. Remember, Christy?
Yes, we have.
We've done an earlier podcast on connecting with your child.
Yeah.
Although it was applied to the secondary school season, there's so many good principles in there that we can learn as parents of young primary school going children.
Yeah.
We employed the LEAP approach, L-E-A-P, and I thought it was really good. L stands for listen without judgment. E stands for empathize. A stands for ask questions to understand and envision the next steps. P is to point them in the right direction and, more importantly, pray with them so that God will bring them into that situation.
I really love what we shared about LEAP in the previous series. And I love that we talked about leaping into love. And that's really what the children want, right? Well, that's really lovely. What our children want. Like what Pastor you shared earlier.
Yeah.
Our children need to be connected. Mm. They need to be known. They need to be seen. They need to be loved.
Yeah.
They crave deep and significant relationships. And parents, we are so blessed that we get to be in that space for them.
Yes.
Right? And we need to want to be there. Yep. Right? And so how we can be there is to leap in to love them.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right?
So good.
And we can plant them in community. We can build a safe community around them, as we have mentioned earlier. And all these things that we do for them will help to guard the success of their hearts, their minds, their souls. Mm-hmm. I know that we talked about all these things. And honestly, if I think about my own daughter, I don't know if I'll ever be ready to have these conversations because they're so tough. And let's go for a break and take some time to digest all that has been shared so far. Catch us in the next segment of this episode where Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen dive deeper into managing friendship matters, social media, boundaries and inappropriate content or exposures with our children. Till the next time, be greatly blessed, highly favored and deeply loved.